Well, good morning and welcome back, Zeke, again.
Howdy.
And welcome you back already.
Yeah, this time I'm not talking about the weather.
So what do we have?
This is the last installment of my homework.
My art homework.
Where, on Sherbrooke, and since 1969, there's been this sort of thing that to my mind looks like a vagina hanging out in front of the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. Other people don't. Let me spit this out properly. Don't think it looks like a vagina. Some people think it looks like a flower. Other people think it looks like a boat. And other people think it looks like a head. And it's a sculpture by Henry Moore, which is called Large Totem Head. And it's the one that's on the north side in front of the Renata and Michael Hornstein Pavilion. And I like that. I can just close my eyes and rattle that off, even though it is multisyllabic. It was a piece that was bought by this guy, Nathan Cummings, who also is the guy who's responsible for that whole sort of like Cummings Arts Center, not the Cummings Arts Center, the Cummings Cultural Center, which is where I think the CJA and stuff hang out, somewhere around DeCary and Queen Mary or something like that. Cote Saint Catherine. And he was a fabulously wealthy man back in the hip and swinging 60s. And he would very frequently buy lots of art and then give it up to the museum, which makes him seem to be a nice person. Anyhow, this piece is a edition of 8, although there is one other artist proof. And there's Sabrina coming in right now. It was bought from Henry Moore piece, Large Totem Head, that looks like the vagina, but it also could be a boat, also could be something else like a flower or anything like that. It was bought from the Marlborough Gallery in New York City. And one of the things that I've been sort of testing with the various other pieces that I have been talking about, which are all part of the museum's sculpture garden in various states, is the Google juice. And you realize that actually Henry Moore is not... Well, it's bizarre because Henry Moore is a very, very common name, Henry and Moore and stuff like that. But then there's, you look for the Google juice and it's only $9,310 for Henry Moore Totem Head. And oh, that's what I forgot. Because with all these tours, I always had this idea of suggested music in the background. And you remember 2 weeks ago I was singing U2? Mm-hmm. This week I get to sing the song of the Volga Boatman. You remember that one by Paul Robeson?
So is that for the boat?
Yes, because it's
interpretation of.
Well, no. Originally, it was a sort of thing where, because before you make a sculpture, the normal protocol is to make a small little model of it to make sure that it looks pretty and stuff like that. And so he made a small little one, and it was actually on its side, on what it would be considered the back. Mm. So it did look like a boat, and the maquette was called Head:Boat Form. And the reason it's called a head, and now this is where I get to show my colonialist background, how I'm sort of one of the white oppressors out there, because there's this African tribe called the Dogon, and they are based out of Mali, and I don't know where Mali is. It's someplace in Africa.
Which justifies your point, I guess. Right?
Exactly. I show my colonialist background. Go colonial, go colonial, go colonial.
I'm not sure where things are, but that's very true.
I will at some point go look on a map or something like that. But then it's also the sort of thing, it's like those sort of nationalist lines based on sort of like that whole idea of just like the European colonialist mentality. I'd almost say the Dogon tribe is someplace in West Africa, somewhere. Not exactly in that armpit, a little bit, but a little bit further north, I think.
There is a point with this.
Yes, because there they make masks. Thank you very much for getting me back on track. they make masks, as do an awful lot of African tribes, and then all those European guys back around the turn of the previous century, from the 19th to the 20th, suddenly discovered, ooh, these things were wicked cool, and so they went into this whole sort of quote-unquote primitivist nature. And the Dogon masks actually look incredibly similar to the Large Totem Head, in that the fact that it's sort of like a rather flat form where then you have the cutouts for the eyes, but the cutouts are sort of like... large, what would it be, rectangles that go basically from what you, if you would envision a abstract shape of the head, then where you'd go from like the eyebrows down to the bottom of the jaw as just being a whole strip that is an eye, with then because you have two of these cutouts, there's then the nose that is, because it is not cut out becomes very much the nose, and it sort of stops, and you really either lose half your face because you don't have a mouth on it, or just becomes sort of like, interesting, interesting.
How symmetrical is that?
Very. Yeah, it's there. I assume you can visualize the large totem head in your mind because you've walked by it a couple of times. And so it's the sort of thing where imagine, as opposed to it being sort of vagina shaped, it's sort of like much more rectangular shaped.
I just like the comparisons. It's how it's,
I just
it
like,
can be compared to a boat or to a vagina.
It's I just like the idea of saying vagina on the radio. It's one of those things you can get away with here when talking, especially when actually you can get away with it just about any place as long as you're talking about art.
And we are talking about art.
Yes, exactly. There, if you're interested at all, there's another, one thing first got to get off is that, not got to get off, that's a bad, bad pun. Malapropism, bad use of words, especially where I'm talking about other stuff. But anyhow, one of the things that I got to get off my chest. Is that with all Henry Moore sculptures, and one thing that you gotta really must, I insist seriously do, is go up and stroke it. Because it is the sort of thing where he, the quote that I have from him, from Mr. Henry Moore. If you desire to achieve the real metallic quality of the bronze, it is necessary to work on the surface of the sculpture after it has been cast. And most of his large sculptures, and dare I say it, all of his large sculptures, the whole idea is to get close to them, although they are large and imposing. There's this sort of concept of terribilità, which is an Italian word meaning a sense of weight and tremendous physical force, of grandeur, which is rather frightening, of a thick, swelling and twisting, plunging shapes, which heave as alarmingly as a giant in his sleep, and then seem in the same way both superhuman and primeval. But it's the sort of thing where if you get closer, you then stroke it and you realize that, okay, these things aren't so really dangerous at all, and they're not that scary, and they're actually very, in certain cases, sensual, which then leads us back to the whole thing that they're not really like a boat at all. The other thing to point out is because you do have that sort of like open space in them, it's the difference between the place, as he says here, this is another quote from Mr. Henry Moore, the places between forms, holes in things, are an obsession with me. Space is an element as important as what is solid and material. And so especially by stroking it and feeling it and touching it and stuff like that, you get to realize that it isn't just the mass itself, but is the absence of the mass, those things which where they could be eyes or they could be something else. And you get to see, oh, that's sort of interesting, that's sort of cool.
And you really feel more of the art as well.
Yes.
Don't you, when you have,
especially if you're touching it. You feel the art very much.
I was getting the impression of that when you were doing your art homework for a few others that you mentioned it. Oh, I can touch it?
Yeah.
And that's something that in the art world you can't usually.
Exactly, except for the fact that outside the museum, there are no guards there. And so, and yeah, I discovered something where it's, I was gave my tour last Thursday so as I could finish the class. And I always thought these things were bronze, were solid. They're not solid at all. They are, you knock on them and it goes bing, bing. They're hollow. Very cool. Which leads me, I need to do some studying on to figuring out, okay, so how exactly do they make those things? I thought they just poured a lot of molten metal into molds and then called it a day, but apparently not. They stick something else in there so that it like sort of becomes hollow. And
I think we need to get a sculptor in the studio to explain the process.
I think that we could also get a sculpture and just then look at it. The one other brief thing that I wanted to mention is the most wicked, absolutely amazing, cool, and fascinating, and wonderful theft of art ever in the world happened 20 years ago this coming Thursday. Yeah, at the Isabel Gardner Museum, they stole more than $300 million worth of art, 13 paintings. And everybody's going, because it is like everybody likes those round numbers and stuff like that. And so they stole some Vermeer, some Rembrandts, and other stuff like that. And they dressed up as cops. And then they sort of used duct tape. And duct tape is always a good thing, but not in this case because they used it to steal art. But they used duct tape to sort of like then bind the hands of the security guards who were college students just trying to earn like their sort of like tuition and stuff like that in Boston, and then they just walked off with like 13 wicked cool paintings. And 20 years ago today, and it made because of the 20 year anniversary, it made the front page of the newspaper, the Boston Globe in Boston, and they're using DNA and all sorts of new forensic techniques so as to see if they can catch the suckers.
Wow.
However, if they catch that, it's more that they want to get the art back, because if they catch the suckers, the statute of limitations has already run out, and so they can't put anybody in jail for the theft. But anyhow, I'm running into Sabrina's time.
Well, I thank you, Zeke.
No problem.
For sharing your perspective.
Henry Moore rocks.
And I look forward to chatting with a sculptor, actually. I think it'd be nice to do that.
We'll see if we can find one. I'm working on getting an architect in here.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Awesome. That's right, because the next segments you'll be having might be dealing with art and architecture.
Soon come. Maybe not the next one. The next one, I think, is I'm actually going to have to go out and see some art, some like contemporary art.
It's been decades
since I spoke about local stuff.
Okay. Well, thanks, Zeke.
No problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.